Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Oh Lord, we're so thankful that you have given us a living hope that cannot be shaken and that cannot be taken away through the eternal victory won by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful, Lord, that you meet us in every moment of life and you lead us on, giving us by your Holy Spirit the guidance that only you can give to help us trust and follow you through every phase, every moment, every stop along life's journey. And so, Lord, we pray that today, as we turn to your word, that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us close to Jesus, that you would make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 5 through 8, and I have to tell you a secret as you turn. Now, if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune into our live event now and follow along with us. That's not the secret. Here's the secret. We normally play that video at the end of the service, and here's why. Because when we play that graduation video, when we watch the cascading moments of the lives of all of those kids who aren't kids anymore, I mean, they're adults now. They're grown. How'd that happen? When did that happen? We can all fall apart and then go home. Well, we wanted to make sure that we got that thing on where everybody could experience it, and so I hope I can pull it together. Graduates, you are so dear to us, and there are several who have also graduated from college and various degrees. We even have a new doctor minted. We're so proud of you and so thankful for what God is doing in you, but I want to give you a message today that speaks not only to our graduates, but to all of us who would trust and follow Jesus, and that is this. Jesus is more than just a set of theological propositions for us to learn about. Jesus is more than a set of theological realities that we need to grasp. Jesus is a person. He is Almighty God in human flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And I think sometimes we're tempted to know about him. And it's a good thing to know about him. You should know about him. That's why we go to Sunday school, and that's why we do some of the things that we do. That's why we read God's holy word. But even God's holy word is not just so that we would know about him. God's word is given so that we would know him. Jesus is a person, and he desires that we would know him and be in relationship with him. And what's amazing to me is that he has entrusted people like you and me, as we trust and follow Jesus, to make him known. And how do we do that? Well, of course, we go to Bible study, and of course, we learn truths about the Lord. But even more importantly, we are called to be the people who walk in the dust of our Master's feet. In other words, we're supposed to be like Jesus. And graduates, if I can give you one message as you step into life's next chapter, make it your ambition to love God and love people, but make it your ambition to be like Jesus. And so I want to give you this theme this morning. How do you do that? How are you like Jesus? Well, here's the theme I want to give you. To be like Jesus, serve. To be like Jesus, serve. The Apostle Paul wrote a majestic hymn, really, about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And I want us to look at verses 5 through 8. And then I want to give you a paradigm, some points that I think might be helpful as you and I seek to be like Jesus by serving. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Apostle Paul is writing from Roman imprisonment as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So let's take a moment and let's look through the major points that are introduced in this text. Number one is this: Jesus is God. Now, this is not number one in your notes, but it is important that you understand that Jesus is God. Yes, he is the Son of God, but he is also God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. So when Jesus came through the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born into a manger in Bethlehem, that was God coming to be with us. He is fully God and he is fully man. I had a buddy who went to pastor a little church many years ago. We'd been in seminary together. And he said when he got there, he made the point in his one of his first sermons that Jesus is God Almighty. And after the service, a little lady came and wanted to meet with him in his office. So she came and knocked on the door. And she said, "Young preacher, I want to tell you something." He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I've been a Southern Baptist my whole life. I was born in a Southern Baptist church. I was baptized by a Southern Baptist church. I was raised in the Southern Baptist church. I've been a GA. I've been an ACT teen. I've been everything you can be. I'm in the WMU. I'm a Baptist woman on mission. And I just have one question." "Yes, ma'am." "You said that Jesus is God." "Yes, ma'am." "Do Southern Baptists believe that?" "Yes, ma'am." "All right, that's good." That was all she needed to know. And sometimes we get confused about that. How can the Son of God be God? Well, he is the Son of God, yes, but he is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. So he is equal with the Father. In the beginning, John wrote in his gospel, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And when you go back to the original language, that is translated, what is translated to with God is proston theon. And it implies that Jesus, the eternal Word of God, is in a face-to-face equal relationship with Almighty God. So he is God. But notice that he did not count his equality with God as something to be grasped. What does that mean? Well, to understand what that means, go with me to any nursery, or perhaps this is going on in somebody's house right now. This may even be going on in my house right now, okay? Anywhere there are children and there are shared toys, or toys that might become shared against their will. Have you ever seen a nursery situation where one kid is playing with a big, bright, shiny red fire truck and another child comes over and tries to take that big, bright, shiny red fire truck? Well, what happens? Tug of war ensues, doesn't it? They start fighting over it. "No, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. Let me see it. Let me have it." Might be going on in your bedrooms right now. Why are they grasping at it? Because they want it. They want it to be theirs. And frankly, as we grow, we do the same things, don't we? You ever fought over a friend? You don't have to raise your hands. But if you're at home, go ahead and raise your hand. You ever fought over a friend? "No, that's my friend. No, that's my friend. No, that's mine." Or maybe over a position. Maybe somebody else is coming to the school fundraiser this year and providing leadership you normally provide. "And no, that's mine. No, that's mine." Maybe somebody's decorating something you've always decorated and they're doing it differently and you feel the need to grasp it and hold it close. Why? Because we find our identity in those things, don't we? This is mine. This is my realm. Well, the Bible says that Jesus, though he was equal with God, did not count his equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't have to grab it and hold on to it because, here's the thing, he knew who he was. He was Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He didn't have to grab it and hold on. And when people said, "You're not the Son of God, you're not the Messiah, you're not God in flesh," Jesus never got mad. Have you noticed that? Why do we get mad when people do things and try to take things away from us that we are holding on to so tightly? Because we feel like we can lose it. Well, Jesus knew he couldn't lose his identity as the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son. So he did not consider his equality with God a thing to be grasped, but rather made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant and being found in human likeness. So what does that mean? Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself because he was so secure in his identity, he was able to make himself lower than he was. I mean, the fact that he came to be with us was Jesus making himself lower than he was. It is called the condescension of Christ. He who is God eternally condescended to come and be with us, condescended to come and die on the cross for us. He came down to us, and he didn't have to do that. But he was so secure in who he was that he was able to give up some of his claims to deity to come and walk around in the dust. And that's what he did. And he took it to its full extent. The Bible says, "Greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And Jesus laid down his life for us. He died the most excruciating, humiliating death ever contrived. And he did it for us. In fact, that word excruciating was made up from the cross. Literally in the Latin, ex cruce, out of the cross. That's where the word comes from. So he embraced that excruciating pain for us. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And the thing about the cross is this. Jesus was crucified on one of the busiest days of the year in one of the busiest places of the world so that all who came by would learn a lesson. And that lesson was this: don't mess with Rome. That's why they crucified people. That's why they killed people in such a brutal way. Don't mess with Rome. If you mess with Rome, this will happen to you. Don't mess with Rome. So they didn't want him to be isolated to die in private. No, they took him up to Golgotha's hill and displayed him along with all the others that they were trying to make a lesson out of. Don't you mess with Rome. And so though that hill was far away from us, it was very near the city. It was very near the crowds. And the Bible says that people derided our Lord. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, watch how this plays out. Let me give you the next two verses because God didn't leave him there. Verse 9 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, yes, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, Jesus humbled himself, but God raised him from the dead, and he has exalted him to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can be absolutely assured that that is going to happen. God has won the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're in Jesus Christ, and if you've repented of your sin and said, come into my life, Lord Jesus, forgive me, I make you my Lord and Savior, I trust and follow you, then that means you've won the victory too. And so you have a living hope. Jesus Christ, who is our living hope, that transcends all the difficulty we could ever face and promises us that though our journey on earth may get bumpy sometimes, we are promised in Christ a safe landing at home. Amen? Can I just say a word? I haven't had a live amen in a while, so it's really nice to have a live amen in the house, man. That feels really good. Well, let me tell you, let me give you this paradigm, and you might have heard me share this before. I'm sure somebody came up with this acronym at some point, but it felt original, whatever it is. I want to give you a paradigm to help you live out this life of service emulating our Lord, and it's very simply this: I help. I help. I-H-E-L-P, and I want to give you 5 points that will help us as we seek to be like Jesus, to emulate our Lord by serving. So the first one is I, and I stands for identity. Identity. I know who I am and whose I am. John 13, verses 3 through 5, John tells us that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. It's one of the most amazing scenes in the Gospels. Jesus, the Lord of Lords, humbles himself to do the job of the lowest servant in the house. He washes feet. But notice what John tells us. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, was able to humble himself in this way. He was secure in his identity. He did not see his identity as a thing to be grasped, but was able to humble himself. Where do you find your identity? Can I beg you? And can I beg me, in the name of Jesus, find your identity in Christ. And here's why. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That if you are in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That you are now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of God in the grip of your heavenly Father, a good, good Father who will not let you go. But so often, that's not where we find our identity, do we? So often we seek to build our lives upon a foundation of identity that comes from somewhere else. And the problem with all those other sources is that they change. So, for example, high school students, you may have been building your identity on the fact that you were going to graduate first in your class and you were going to get to give a graduation speech, a valedictorian speech to a room or a gym full of people. And that didn't happen. And so you may be feeling some brokenness right now because that for which you had striven so diligently just didn't come to pass. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes that's the way life goes. Sometimes life changes quicker than we think it will. It turns on a dime. And things for which we have striven so valiantly turn out to be not what we thought they would be. So I want to encourage you. Don't find your identity in what you are. And we fellas, we're really good about this. Who are you? Well, I do this. I didn't ask what you do. I ask who you are. What's the difference there? My fundamental identity is that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God because of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And though everything else may change, that remains the same. So here's the thing. You may find your identity in your major, but do you know how often college students change their majors? You may find your identity in your career, but do you know how often careers change? I mean, right now, throughout the world, careers are changing right now because of the economic realities of COVID-19. Or perhaps your situation in life, I'm single, or I'm married, or I'm a young parent of young children, or I'm a parent of teenagers, or I'm an empty nester, or I'm a grandparent, or I'm a great-grandparent. I mean, that changes, and it changes so rapidly. I mean, I've got a kid going to junior high right now. I've coached junior high kids. I've taught junior high kids. I've never had my own. Pray for me. He's a good boy, though. I mean, those things change. So find your identity in Christ. Secondly, humility. I assume a posture of servanthood. I assume a posture of servanthood. If my identity is firmly rooted in Christ, I know who I am in Christ, I know whose I am in Christ, I know where I'm headed in Christ, I can now humble myself just as my Lord did. I don't have to lord over you. I trust Jesus to be Lord. I'll become the servant of all. In fact, that's the way it works in the economy of God's kingdom. Whoever would be first must be last. Whoever must lead must be the servant of all. So I humble myself. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, James 4:10 says, and he will lift you up. So don't go out and try to make a name for yourself. Go out and make the name of Jesus great. He'll raise you up in the right way at the right time. Trust him. He sees the whole picture of your life. You see a couple of pixels at a time. Trust him. Humble yourselves. The E is expectancy. I am ready to use my gifts and my talents to serve. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Are you ready for every good work that the Lord might bring before you? My kids get tired of hearing this, and I got this from my college football coach. You know how we're often saying to one another, oh, good luck, good luck. Well, my college football coach used to say that luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. In fact, all the way from my house, I just heard my children groan those very words, preparation meets opportunity. You can control preparation. God will control opportunity. So what is your job? Prepare. You do the very best you can to be prepared for when the opportunity arises, and then you'll have good luck. That's all luck is. It's what happens when preparation meets opportunity. So trust God with the opportunity. You take care, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to prepare and be ready for when opportunity arises. I am ready to use my gifts and talents to serve. Fourthly, the L is love. I will show convictional kindness and compassion. I will show convictional kindness and compassion. Jesus said through John the Apostle, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And can I encourage us, church family, as the world kind of comes back to life right now? I mean, you're driving around, traffic's picking up a little bit, retail has opened up. Guess what is poised to happen? People who have been cooped up for months are now coming out, and they're not real thrilled with the world right now, and they're on edge. You and I have the ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to slow down, to let people go in front of us, to smile, to be kind. I mean, if you've been out anywhere lately, you have likely seen somebody who's having a really bad day. Don't let that be us. I will convictionally love you. I will be kind to you no matter what, because the Lord has been kind to me. I will show love. I will love in deed, and I will love in truth. And finally, the P, purpose. I will glorify God by my actions. Why are you here? Why am I here? We're here to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are here to glorify God so that everything we do ought to glorify God. If you want a sense of purpose in your life, let everything you do be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's not something I came up with. That's something God said through His Word. My purpose is to glorify God, loving Him, loving others, and humbling myself to serve as my Lord humbled Himself to serve, recognizing that God desires through me to show Jesus to the world, not just that they might know about Him, but that they might know Him. In order to do that, I've got to assume the posture of a servant, but that's not a negative thing. That's a very positive thing. I recognize that my identity is rooted in Christ. Is your identity rooted in Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't, do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. He died on the cross to pay in full the price for your sin, and His arms are open to receive you if you will come to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I've broken your law. You told me not to lie, and I've lied. You told me not to cheat, and I've cheated. You told me not to steal, and I've taken things that don't belong to me. But Lord, I come to You and ask You to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a new life in Jesus' name. He'll do it. He'll do it. So find your identity in Christ, but then humble yourself. Live expectantly. Love. And fulfill your purpose of knowing Christ and making Him known. We're going to have a time to respond here in the house, but I want to give you a time to respond in your house. And I would encourage all of us that we would seek to be like Jesus. And in order to be like Jesus, we got to serve like Jesus. And so let us find our identity in Him, and let us root ourselves deeply in Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You, and we thank You so much, Lord, for the truth that our Lord Jesus was willing to humble Himself, to make Himself a servant, because He knew who He was and whose He was. May we do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.